Today's daf in Masechet Pe'ah is daf Hey, and we are holding on the second line, Chitzei Gibor Shinuni. So we've been talking about the sugya of Lashon Hara, and we continue after discussing the death of Avner and the various elements that caused the death of Avner. We now go back to our discussion about Lashon Hara in general. And it says in Tehillim, Chitzei Gibor Shinunim im Gachalei Ritamim. So we know that we compared before Lashon Hara to, we talked about a cherev and so on. But why here is it specifically, as the Gemara, why is it compared to arrows? And that's obvious. It's because kol klei zayin makim b'mekumam. The difference is that an arrow is able to damage at a distance. You have a guided missile. That's exactly what it is that Lashon Hara does. And why Dafka does it say Gichalei Ritamim? What is so special about broom? It's the Rotem is a broom tree. Because Kol HaGichalim, if you see that they're out, Kovu Mibachutz, that means that they're not burning inside. But Rotem is very special because even though outside it appears to be harmless and it's no longer hot, so Afa Pisha Kovu Mibachutz, it is not Kovu Mibifnim for a very long time and it continues to maintain a tremendous amount of internal heat. Now there was a Maaseh. There was someone who had left a fire that he had used the rotem to light, and this was during Chag HaSukkot, and somebody came back and found it still hot inside at Pesach 6 months later. So the same thing is true. If somebody goes along and he says something, and it looks like, it's not very damaging, they apologize and whatever, but once a person has heard the Lashon Hara, it continues to burn internally and continues to cause damage years later. The person never feels completely trusting of that individual. Omar Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachman. We know that Latid Lavo, the Chayot, all come together and they say to the Nachash, explain to us, why is it that when you walk, you're always flicking your tongue in front of you? Omar, so he said to them, because it's the damn tongue that screws me over. It's zu du garamli. It's this tongue that caused me to be what I am today because I spoke Lashon Hara in Gan Eden, and because of that, it's always flicking on the dirt. They asked him furthermore, what exactly do you get out of no sheikh that you just go and you poison people? You know, I mean, Aryeh Terefoch, you understand, the lion is hungry, it goes and it swipes and eats. Zaev Terefoch, a wolf comes along and it tears internal organs and then it eats. But what do you do? Hatmana Ayeshla, what is the point? Amar Lahem, Imi Shocha Nochash, Belo Lochash. Do you think that I do something without a tzivui min hashamayim? Iguleit Amar Li min shamaya. Right. If it wouldn't be that I was told min hashamayim to bite, so then obviously I never would have done so. I never would have bitten anybody. So it's im yishoch anachash b'lo lachash. If there wouldn't be a tzivoy, I never would have bit. And furthermore, they ask him, how is it that you just bite in somebody's leg and somehow the poison is able to affect the entire organism? But you ask me. Liatem Shalim, go speak to the Balei Lashon Hara. Well, over here, Omer Khan, he speaks about somebody in Eretz Yisrael, and that person could be killed a year later in Rome, Or Omer Baromi Vareg Besuria. I mean, it's something that is astounding. So all I managed to do is get venom from a leg to a heart, But this is a lot further than that. And they furthermore asked the Nachash, Mata Matsui Ben Hagdirot, why is it that you're always found underneath stones of the wall? Between properties, and you're not in the open field. What I did in getting the Adam and Chava to eat from the Etz Hadat, I destroyed the boundaries of the way the world is, and because of that, I have to hide between the boundaries. Anyway, we now go back to the opening of the Mishnah. And basically, what we were talking about in the Mishnah was the idea of how mitzvahs and averis are different, and some things give you a schus, and so on. So, as a chut, yeshla keren v'yeshla perot. You do a mitzvah. So we see the way the Mishnah was talking about is that there's keren and that there's perot. So when you do something positive, you do a mitzvah, you have both the keren, you have the principal, and you have the ongoing peirot that comes from that principal. So you get more than you did. Whereas the avera, yesh la keren, first there's a punishment. However, ein la peirot, at least you're not paid back more than the evil that you do. So that's the difference always. Mida teva is meruba mida puranut. And where do we see this? Hazachut, yesh la keren v'yesh la peirot shenemar, imru tzadiki tov kipri. So we talk about the tzaddik who does good. He will eat from the peirot of what he does and leave the keren untouched. But an avera has only a keren ve'ein la peirot. Shenemar, because then the very next pasuk says, "Oy la rasha ra, kigmu yadav ye'aselo." Only what he did directly and no further implications will be done back to him. Ask the Gemara, "Then mani mekayim?" And how am I supposed to explain the following pasuk? It says in Mishle, "V'yochlu mipri darkam," that the evildoers will eat from the peirot of their paths. Apparently, there are peirot to bad things. So, therefore, what we have to say is it's slightly different. Ela, kol avera she'asat pri. The difference is what you did. A person who does an avera, which continues to affect others, let's say that it's mechal Hashem Shamayim, so then it has peirot also in the punishment. But something that doesn't affect others and doesn't continue to reverberate down time, ein la pri. So ve'yachlu pri darkam is a reference to the chata'im that have an ongoing effect. And because of that, there are indeed peirot that continue to reflect that ongoing effect. Machshava tova. Somebody thinks about doing a mitzvah and is unable to do it. Amakom etzar fala maaseh. It says if he did the maaseh. Mashenkin machshava ra. So there HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't take the thought and give punishment for it as if it's part of the ma'aseh. Machshava tova, hamakom mitzarfa lema'aseh. Where do we see that? Dechtiv. Az nidburu yirei Hashem ish re'eu. People discuss, yirei Hashem, what it is that we can do. And they were thinking, how it is we'd be able to make a difference? How it is we'd be able to do a mitzvah? Vayakshev Hashem vayishma v'yikatev v'sefer zikron lefanav, as it says. Now that means that it's considered to be a sefer liyirei Hashem lechoshvei Shemo, just thinking about it. But machshava ra'ah ein hamakom mitzarfa lemaaseh, because what it says in Tehillim is aven im ra'iti v'libi lo yishma Adonai. Even though I noted that my own heart is filthy and I thought about doing an avera, but I didn't do it in the end, Kodesh Baruch Hu pretends not to hear about it. Adit Natema, this is true only, however, be Yisroel. Asha'inkem, when it comes to Goyim, it's the exact opposite. Machshava tova in a Kodesh Baruch Hu mitzarfa lemaaseh, and machshava ra'ah, Kodesh Baruch Hu is mitzarfa lemaaseh, because the Yisroel, it's clear that they would want to do what is good. Machshava tova in a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So, machshava tova in a Kodesh Baruch Hu mitzarfa lemaaseh. We know that a Kodesh Baruch Hu does not take the good intent of a goy and make it as if it's already been done from the story of Daryavesh, who attempted supposedly to save Daniel. So, as it says, from this is from, of course, the lion's den, and it says, "Va'al Daniel sam Daryavesh ba'alish hezevate." So he tried his best to put it off, to try to save him. The ad ma'alei shimshan until the latest moment, until it was time for sunset. He was mishtadar la'atzaluta. He did whatever he could, any legal plays, any games he could play to put it off. But he didn't. And it doesn't say v'shezve. It doesn't say he did save him, even though he tried as best as he could. So we see that we do not consider it to be the equivalent of actually doing it. Machshava ra'ah, on the other hand, we find that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mitzarfa when it comes to Goyim, because we're talking over here about Esav. This is from, of course, Avadia was the ger from Esav. So there it says, "V'chatu giborecha teman leman yikaret ish me'aretzav mikatel mechamas achicha Yaakov techascha busha v'nichrata li'olam." But because of the way that you, Mikoto, were learning to say, the murder and the violence that you did to your brother Yaakov, as if you actually had killed him, you will be covered with shame. But he never did kill him. V'chi harago, since when did Esav kill Yaakov? Ela malami shechashav l'hargo. The point is that he wanted to kill him, and his wanting to kill him was sufficient. It's as if he actually did kill him. Tony. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says like this in the Braita. A person can be a tzaddik his entire life. In the last moment of his life, Morad, he bade ze koma shasako yamav, and he's a rush. So in that one moment, he can lose it all as if he's a Rosh Gomer Matam, because it says in Yecheskel, b'shuv tzadik mitzitkatova asa avel, ko tzitkotova asher asa lo tizacharna. Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish Omer, but that's only where he's tohel rishonot. It's only where he not only does something wrong, but he says, I am so sorry I ever did any of those good things. Wish I had never done it. What if a person was a rush his entire life? At the very last moment of his life, where do we see this? We see this also from Yechezk. This is the exactly where the Gemara teaches that his averos become actually zechuyos them. And where do we see that? Matam. Because it says, more of ahalot kitziot ko bigdotecha, which means ko bigidot, bigdotecha, we understand to mean the begida, the treachery that you performed against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shebagad it to me. All the things you did to me, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Arein, I look at them now as more of ahalot, the most delicious smells and spices. Uktziot. Obviously, that would mean that they're considered to be zechuyot. So now what we've seen is that we had various faces of mitzvahs and averas. We started off with our Mishnah here, in which we have things that have peirot, in which all of your scars kept for Olam Haba. We saw that there were averos that you can also be punished in Olam Hazeh and in Olam Haba. And there are also things that a person can do that actually will make a difference in how it is that we measure the interrelationship of your mitzvos and your averos. So the first you saw it is that rubo zechuyot umiyuto averot, that things go in your din according to the rov. Now obviously that doesn't mean the rov in terms of numbers, but as the Rambam explains, it means the way in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is ma'arich the various things, how they fit together and affect one another. So nifra'im mimenu miyut averot kalot chasa ba'olam hazeh. When a person has rov zechuyot, so then the miut, those are considered to be the lighter things which he did in Olam Hazeh. Therefore, his punishment is in terms of Olam Hazeh. And it's in orderly tenos chara mishalem latay tavot, because since his rov is what's chashev, it deserves to be taken care of in Olam Haba for him. Aval, but in the case where rubo averot, umyuto zechuyot. So in that case, the schar of his mitzvot, which are kal, which are the lighter things, and are measured in terms of inyanim of Olam Hazeh. And therefore, we pay him back for all of those things by giving him a wonderful life in Olam Hazeh, in order to be nifra mimeno, his entire onesh mishalem le'atid lavo. Aval haporeik, oh, and this is true if it doesn't involve something that is very chomer. But if included in his averot is poreik, oh, mefer brit and migale panim b'torah, and he says things that are insulting to the Torah. We'll see exactly what these things are later. Afa pish yesh b'yado ma'asim tovim, no matter how many ma'asim tovim he has, and it doesn't matter that they're the rov, there he has to be nifra. There, the person has to be paid back, not only in Olam Hazeh, but the averis that he has are still waiting there in their principle, even in Olam Haba. Now, how about not Korei Kol Mei for Brit and so on, but Avodah Zorah and Gilui Arayot. Rabbi Yona and Rabbi Yossi Chad Amar, those things are included to be the Averot Kalot, like we said before. And then Averot Kalot, the person is Nifroi Mimeno, Be'olam Hazeh, that way he gets his full schar in Olam Haba. And they're not considered to be things that violate the idea of Nida Al-Pirov. Whereas the other one said, no, these things are considered to be similar to Porei Kol, and therefore the Karen of his own Ishis, Kayemet Lolam Haba. Now, when you talk about Avodah Zarah and Gilui Arayot, what are we referring to exactly? Are we talking about someone did Teshuvah? I mean, Manan Kayami. Im Be'asa Teshuvah after he did his Averot. In Kol Davar, Befnei Kol Ba'alei Teshuvah. I understand. Why would he have to get an onus at all? So obviously, he can't be talking about that he didn't do Teshuvah. Yeah, I mean, that he did Teshuvah. Ela Ka'anan Kayami. Obviously, we're talking about where he didn't do Teshuvah. And if he didn't do Teshuvah, so obviously, this person did not do teshuvah. And if that's the case, so he died, made Yisurin. So therefore, well, our question is that if he had died by Yisurin, what would be the situation Lagabe these things in Olam Haba? That's where Rabbi Yonah and Rabbi Yossi was referring to. Now, the question over here about the Girsa, this is not very clear, because there's also those who read with Mate Bi Karet, in other words, that he died young, not simply that he died Bi Yisurin. And so the question is whether that cutting off of his life, or the pain that he suffers, whether that's considered to leave these things as averot kalot or as averot chamurot, since l'maisa he did suffer tremendously for them in Olam Haba, in Olam Hazeh. Okay, so now we've spoken about Porei Kol, Mefer Brit Basar, Megala Panim B'Torah, and of course Avodah Zarah and Gilui Arayot. But there are many, many things that we know that a person is called Ein Lo Chilek B'Olam Haba. So what are some of those things? It says in the Mishnah, Eilu She'ein Lo Chilek. Or he says, "In Torah min hashamayim." He doesn't believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah. Or he's an apikoros, who's somebody who speaks disparagingly or acts disparagingly against Talmid Chachamim or against the Torah. Rabbi Akiva Omer Afakorei B'Sforim Achitzonim. Even somebody who reads the Sforim that were written by Minim. And these are basically, of course, there's different approaches. Naturally, there are those who say that it's a reference to any type of sefer that has to do with the goyim, you know, the typical thing that the philosophical sforim are considered to be sforim chitzonim. Others learn sforim chitzonim means dafka if they're written about the Tanakh and they're like full of Bible criticism and pirushim that have nothing to do with the way that Chazal understand the Torah. And the normal person may end up being mushpa by such a thing. And because of that, we are not even reading it. It's Rabbi Akiva who believes that someone who is not capable of knowing the difference and is going to be affected by it, so if he reads it, is considered to lose his chelik in Olam Haba. The Lochesh al HaMakah, the Omer, somebody who whispers and uses psukim in the Torah as a refuah for his makas, reducing the Torah to magic and incantations, Kol HaMachalah, Asher Santu Mimitzrayim, Lo Asim Alecha, Ki Yini Hashem Rofecha, somebody like that has no chelik in Olam Haba. Abba Shal Omer, Afo Get Hashem Bo'ot Yotav, somebody who speaks the letters out of the Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei, and he says it the way it's meant to be said and not as the shame of Adon. So such a person has a chilek la'olam haba. The question is whether each stam, you know, says it not knowing well how to pronounce it, that itself is considered to be a zilzul, or stam he uses the actual shame. And Osifu Aleihem HaPorek O HaMefer Brit HaMegaleh Panim B'Torah, the things that we had listed before also are included in the things that Ein Lo Chelek L'Olam Haba. So these things are added, but L'maisa it's not that the Tana was Chelek, it's just that this is part, according to him, of what it means to be an Apikoros overall. What is the detail, the meaning of these specific things? So HaPorek O is considered to be somebody who would say, of course there's Torah, but I'm not comfortable with it. You know, it's really difficult, you know? So I don't think it's very important. Some of the gears, any sofna. I don't think it's important. Mefer Brit Basar, Zeshu Moshech Lorla, he pulls the skin of his penis around the top, and it makes it look as if he never had a Brit Mila. This is somebody who says, Lo nitna Torah, mina shamayim. Says the Gemara, but how is that possible? V'lo kfar tanita, didn't we say, Omer ein Torah bina shamayim? Separately, in lo chelav olam haba. So how can you say, we're going to add now these things, in which megaleh panim haTorah means the same thing as the thing that you said before? That makes no sense. So therefore, there's another explanation, which is Rav Chananya anatonaya. And Tani Rav Chananya anatonaya, kamei Rav Yimona, that the meaning, a megal panim b'Torah, somebody that has a complete chutzpah vis-a-vis the Torah, is over al divrei b'farhesya, in front of people, as if it's unimportant. Kagon Yehoyakim, Melech Yehuda v'chaverav, like the people at the time of Yehoyakim, and he did various things that he did openly. And that was the story that we find in Yirmiyahu. So we're over there. Yirmiyahu calls in Baruch ben Neriah and reads the various things that are going to be happening in his Megillah. It becomes in the end Megillat Eicha, the Churban, and he says this over, and he reads it, Baruch ben Neriah reads it over with the hope that people will see what is coming. And fine, everybody is really very impressed, except when he comes and he reads Megillat Eicha in front of Yehoyakim, he tears it into pieces and feeds it into a fire, as if it's completely meaningless. The chutzpah of that level is called Megala Ponim Batorah. So getting back to the way that din is predicated on rov. So if somebody has rov zechuyot, so then that is a person who will be yoresh gan ed. Somebody that has rubo aveirot, that is somebody who is yoresh gehinon. Haya mu'uyan, suppose he's completely balanced, he's a beinoni. Om Reb Yossi ben Chanina. In that case, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is manig his anhaga of nosei avon. And the question is, why does it say nosei avon? It doesn't say nosei avonot. It says nosei avon, which tells me that not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu just simply looks at all your sins and ignores them, but what it means is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chotev shtar echad min ha'averot v'haschriyot ma'achriyot. So what he does is he hides, basically keeps back one of the notices, the information about the avera that the person does, and because of that, the zechuyot end up weighing more, and therefore that person is yorish ganed. Amar Rabbi Elazar says, so it doesn't say over there that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mishalem exactly what he does. It says be'erech kima'aseh. So it said he doesn't do really the same level of ra, but rather he may do better for him than the way that the person himself acted. And that's called anagalifni mishurat hadin. So what would that mean? That if that person doesn't have sufficient zechuyot to push down the scales, so to speak, so at yayiv leimindidach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu throws in zechuyot from him his own, from his bank of zechuyot, and that means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually adds to the meisim tovim, not takes away the meisim raim that we said before. Now, this is he, the das that we just said, Rabbi Elazar's approach, who says L'chashem Chesed, is similar to dated Rabbi Elazar elsewhere, because Rabbi Elazar said about the pasuk of Rav Chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is matek klapi Chesed. In other words, what he does is he takes the tzad of the scale and presses it down harder in the direction of Zechus. And that's exactly what he's saying over here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a bank, so to speak, in which he can give kima I say more of the things, even though you didn't do them, more of the things that he has similar to and that he can back you up with to give you more. Rabbi Yirmiyahu Omer, that Rabbi Shmuel Bar Rabbi Yitzchak asked the question of the Pasuk in Mishlei, Tzedakah titzor tom derech v'rish'ah tisalev chatat. So in other words, the tzaddik who does these tzedakahs, that tzedakah watches his path. The chataim of the Rasha actually pervert his path even further. And it furthermore says, Chataim teradefra'a ve'et tzadikim yeshalim tov. So in other words, the very chait itself chases after rishaim, and tzadikim end up becoming full of more mitzvot, because the reward of good is more good. And in the third pasuk it says, im la'leitzim hu yalitz, Vila anavim yitein chen. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will provide opportunities for the cynical to be chotei, and the Anavim, he will be mezaka them with chen. And in the fourth pasuk it says, Raglei chasidav yishmor, Rishaim b'choshech yidamu. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu watches his tzaddikim to make certain that they don't fall into the obstacle of chet. And Rishaim, on the other hand, are wrapped in the dark and therefore will undoubtedly find themselves falling over obstacles once again. And yet a fifth pasuk says, Kavod chachamim yinchalu, uksilim meirim kalon. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps this tzaddikim to be zochet hamor, and Rishaim, he lifts up that they should have even greater embarrassment. So there seems to be a pattern here that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help tzaddikim to do mitzvahs and will actually help Rishaim to be nifshal in more averos. And the question is, v'sayin tziyagin v'tarin teria, I mean, do we actually find it to be a balanced hanhaga that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is goder, he's a siyog to a siyoga. He's goder, someone who is gadur. And in the same way, he makes a broken door even more wide open. I mean, it just doesn't seem fair that he should help tzaddikim to do more, Rishayim to do more of merits. Says Rabbi Yirmiyah b'shem Reb Shmuel bar Reb Yitzchak, this is, in fact, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hanaga. If a person is shomer adam et atzmo min ha'avera pa'am rishona, shniyah v'shlishit, so then he has a chazoka to keep himself clean from averas, and mikan ve'elech HaKadosh Baruch Hu is meshamro and doesn't let him fall into that same avera. Matam, this is because, as Yov says, hein kol ela yif'al el pa'amayim shalosh im gaver, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help someone to avoid if they themselves had already done three times saving themselves from an avera. Omer Rabbi Zeira u'bilachud d'lo yatfil, as long as he doesn't go back and start doing that avera again. But if he turns back from what it is that he did to save himself from the avera, and then he goes and he tries to do the avera, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't prevent the avera. HaKadosh Baruch Hu only prevents the avera from coming his way and is falling into it. Matam? Well, the basis of this is from the pasuk v'achuta mishulash lo la'olam yinatek. It's not what it says. What it says is achuta mishulash lo bimehera yinatek. There's a big difference between that. So it doesn't say, well, you can be guaranteed not to fall into it again. It says you won't fall in easily again. So that means in matracha taloi mifseku. Of course, if you try very hard to break the chuta mishulash, you certainly can by continuing to go after the avera that you insist that you want to be nichshal in, then there's no way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can save you. Ravuna b'shem Rabbi Abba says that even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu in lefanav shikran b'shvil Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not a shukran. So even though he doesn't have obviously a concept of shikran, but he makes a hanhoga of acting as if he is a shakran in order to be able to remove avonot and change the balance, as we said before, and that way the kaf, of course, is machria. Matam, where do we see this from? As it says, Miel kamocha no se avon. And the truth is, it's written no se without a vav. So therefore, we read it as if it is said no she. No she is to forget. No she avon means forget seven. So we find that it's like shikha. V'chein b'Davidu omer, nasata avon amecha, kisita kochat atamso. In other words, the idea over here is nasata, you forgot nashata as a shikha. And through that, you are kisita kochatata, cover all of our avirot. Halacha beit. Now we get to our next Mishnah. And ein pochatin lepeya, even though we said in the first ein lehem shiur. However, as we explained there certainly is a drabonot shiur. What is that? You cannot give less than 1/60th from your field. So ein pochatin lepeya mi shishim, meaning mi echad b'shishim. And despite the fact that it said before we introduced the pasuk, the parak, with this idea, that there's a difference between the Dioraita and between the Dorabonah. Rabbanah. What that Echad Mishishim is not really 100% clear, whether it has to do with the actual productivity or whether it goes according to the area of the field, because after all, pay is supposed to be left in the field. That already is a discussion between the poskim. So what this means is that after the Takana of Echad Mishishim, we didn't change the Lashon of the original Mishnah, as we say, Mishnah Lozozim Mimekayma, and what we put in is that even though we said before, Kach Vekach, however, the Chachamim went ahead and made a Takana, which is now no stira, but which needs to be taken into consideration. Now, the question is whether Echad Mishishim is absolute or whether it depends a little bit on the situation. Well, Hakol Lefi Godel HaSadeh. The truth is that if a person's field is very large and that he has enough to be able to provide himself, he can give more tzedakah. Ulefi Aniyim. How many Aniyim are there? If there's a lot of Aniyim, give more. If there's less, give less. Lefi HaAnava. And also, according to the way in which the bracha was chal on the field. So that would mean the word anava in the sense of response, meaning the way in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought out, or the way that the field responded to what was put into it, and then would mean that according to the productivity of the field. Or it could be lefi anava, some regard is with a veit, which means according to the number of grains that you have. But in any event, the idea obviously is that if you've got a totseret this year, an output that is particularly large and so on, then it's correct to use that in order to be mosif, the tzedakah of peah. So you're supposed to take the shishim and then use the shishim as your benchmark and then take it from there based on these three things. The size of the field, the amount of the poor, and how well the field has responded to your investment. Says the Gemara, Ein pochatin. So we talked about in the Mishnah that there were three elements you need to take into consideration, and that was the size of the field, the number of aniyim that you have to give to, and the way in which the field has produced, quality-wise, quantity-wise. Now the Braita says, Tani, in omrim havegma limuton. We don't tell an ani, okay, I am going to leave this much peah, so that if you want to take it, you have to bring a truck, rent a truck, take it to your house. What is the point here? Interestingly enough, the idea is that when you give peah, we're striking a certain balance, because when you give peah, you're making all of that grain, you're taking it out of the chiev of trumas and maestras and so on, and you don't have to take that out. And therefore, you're striking the balance of what it is that you need to do for the ani, as opposed to the way in which we want the kedusha of the produce of Eretz Yisrael to be affected. So the Torah wants us to do that. However, if you're going to be giving so much that it's not really necessary for the support of the aniyim, and instead you're basically, you want to give so much money that the aniyim will, for all intents and purposes, no longer be aniyim and they'll be rich. So the idea over there is that then we have to start thinking about, I mean, is that the way you want to do this? Or is it more important for the Kedusha of Trumas and Maestras to be Chal? And the aniyim should be Mefurnas with what is necessary for the aniyim, but not more. Matnita beyater mikashir. So this bright we're talking about over here is talking about obviously where you're giving more than the chachomim or machayev here. If you're leaving just the echad mishishim and there's that much anyway because your field is so enormous, so then of course omrim avigmalim etaon. There's nothing innately wrong with giving that much as long as it's within the chiyuvim of the mitzvah. Then we said, Lufi Godel HaSadeh, so on and so forth. So, Sadeh Meruba. Let's take an example. Suppose you have an enormous field. Then the Aniyim are nonetheless Muatim. Noten Lufi Sadeh. What you determine then, you say, okay, well, what's the point of giving more just because I have a large field? I should give according to the number of Aniyim. No, that's not true. You should give according to the field. So deo miyuta. Suppose your field is small and the aniyim are merubim. So then you should give more according to the aniyim. So we take into consideration both the blessing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given you to be mezakeh you with so much to give to tzedakah. So you give more to tzedakah. You'll make the ani have a tremendous matana. So each ani will get more. And on the other hand, we also have to take into consideration the needs of aniyim. If there's a lot of aniyim, and even if you weren't as mitbarech, take that into consideration. Rabbi Shimon Darash, Shnei Dvarim Lukulosh Abalabai. On the other hand, Rabbi Shimon argues with the Tanakhama over here, and he says both of these things go in favor of the Balabayit. If Sadeo is Meruba and the Aniyim are Muatim, so if there's not allowed a lot of Aniyim, so then Noten Lefi Aniyim, even if you have a large Sadeh, you do not have to give more than Echad Mishishim. If Sadeo is Meuta and the Aniyim are Merubim, you have plenty to give because you have a large field. You have to give more than Echad Mishishim. Matnita lo amrake. Now the truth is that what Rabbi Shimon is saying is not like the mashma'ut that we can be medayit from the Mishnah, because he is claiming, Rabbi Shimon, that all of this was said in favor of the Balabayit to be make on him. But remember that what the Mishnah said was akol lefi godal hasadeh, lefi ha'aniyim, ulefi ha'anava, where certainly the mashma'ut of the language of the Mishnah is that you are mechuyev to give as much as these three things are mechayev you. So if you're going according to the godel, you're going to the rov, in other words, the amount of aniyim, which is in the direction of more, or the greatness of the response. So therefore the mashma'ut is that we are looking to increase beyond yirechad mishishim. And if we wanted to stress the limit, we wouldn't have said how big. Remember, the size is godel. The size could also be the kata, or the number could also be the miut. So therefore, the stress on the rov, the stress of the godel, implies that we're looking to increase what your chiyuv is and not to make it less.